Well, in a little different setting, we can have a little different format, right? I think this will work. Lutherans persist in their confidence that the Bible is important. Lutherans persist in this idea that the Bible matters, that it actually has consequence for the way that you and I think and believe and live, and the way that we treat one another, right? The Bible matters. It's powerful, it has effect, it is a kind of change agent in our gatherings together. We persist in this idea that somehow the pages of Scripture reveal God, that God is busy in self-disclosure, that these stories and these poems, these little bits of advice, these sort of pastoral letters that get distributed from one community to the next, that they work on us, they work in us. When we call this thing the Word of God, we even make it a capital W. We're not kidding. This matters. When we read and explore and wrestle with these texts, it's a little like taking a risk, because it means that we open ourselves to the possibility that something's going to change us. Might change our perspective, might change a decision that we're about to make, may give some encouragement, may give some challenge, but it's going to poke. It's going to matter. In fact, this book is so important to us that we read it every week. We have made of it a holy habit. And it would be hard to imagine church without somebody standing at a mic with the text. Trusting that the Bible is true, trusting that it is sturdy, that it will hold up to our questions. It will hold up to our myopia, our selfishness. The Bible's good enough that it even holds up to our mistakes. Our small minds still get caught by it and in it. Even when we try to be sneaky, even when we try to misappropriate it, you know, we might take a little snip here, a little snip there, and craft it and weave it in such a way that it validates my thoughts. That it sort of becomes a way that I justify things, or I can take the right verse and find it and read it in such a way that, well, it seems like, yeah, that's what my politics are. Only to be surprised that it turns me upside down. That it'll turn me inside out, actually. Dr. Shauna Hannon is she's the homiletics chair at Pacific Lutheran Theological Seminary, my alma mater. And she asserts that preaching is the ministry of the whole congregation. I mean, usually we hire pastors for that, right? That they're supposed to be the ones that get up and talk and kind of tell us, the rest of us, what the Bible actually says. She's pushing it further than that and saying that the Word is bigger than that. And I think she's right. In fact, I wonder if you'll try this with me. Would you hold up your right hand, ready, set, go? That's pretty good. You're a compliant bunch. Someone might. Try to get ready to write in. Okay, that's good. Now put it down. I'm going to encourage folks that through the course of the next just few minutes together, there might be times when you raise that right hand. And if you do it with these words, I notice, and then words. I mean, one sentence. Jim Harvey was at the last service and we had to shut him down, you know? Okay, let's try to get ready. I notice. So you got the hang of this? Now, it could be, too, that as I read this text again, you'll not only think about I notice, but it may strike you with some curiosity. It may be that you want to learn more, so there could be another one. Ready with your right hand? I wonder. Let's try it out loud again. Ready? I wonder. Okay, so most of you have had a little bit of practice, and you could do that, one or the other. I'm going to read the passage ever so slowly. And as soon as one of those moments kind of hits, as soon as that Bible pokes you a little bit, I want to see a hand up, okay? At the 9 o'clock, we just had to shut it down. There was too many. Ready? What are the things again? I notice, or I wonder. Now after John was arrested, Gregory.
He was arrested.
You say, I noticed he was arrested.
Oh, no worries.
Anybody wonder anything? Tammy?
What was he arrested?
I wonder why he was arrested. Very good. You guys are getting great. Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. Kari.
I wonder what the
good
news is.
Yeah. Duh. I wondered, what news, what do you mean, Terry?
I noticed that they're close together, but they're not specifically tied together. Jesus came to Galilee even though John was arrested.
Okay, that was a long sentence, but I'll give you that one. All right, man. And saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. Remember, didn't mention again. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. John.
I wonder what they were fishing for.
Okay, yeah. Terry, you already did one. Wait.
I wonder why he noticed the fisher.
Some of the earlier service said that. I wonder why not somebody else. Okay. Yeah, Terry.
I wonder if Jesus actually knew their names and maybe they were friends.
I noticed he knew their names. Jesus passed along the sea. Okay, I made that one. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. Carla.
I wonder where
is
he going?
Oh, sure. It begs the question, kind of what's next. Yeah. Here it goes, ready? And immediately they left their nets and followed him. Jackie.
I wonder what they thought they were
for. Yeah. Would you have done that? I mean, it's kind of like, whoa. And then did you have your hand up too?
It was basically the same question.
Right. Bob, you're itching your chin.
Oh, no. I wondered the appeal of power. Mm-hmm. Why did they follow?
Yeah. What compelling energy was it? Yeah. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Yeah.
I wonder if he equated mending nets with catching people and mending their ways.
Does that word mend work in more than one way? Okay. Nancy in the back. You can see how this kind of stirs and bubbles. That's when you take Scripture seriously. Somebody at the earlier service, they said, I wondered what their wives thought. See, Laura was going to do that, but she was embarrassed. All right, last verse. Here we go. Immediately, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men. And followed him. Alicia?
I wonder where he called them.
Oh, what he called them. Okay. Now Nancy's got her hand up.
I wonder what his father thought.
There's Zebedee standing there.
Well, if I was Zebedee and my son's someplace
else,
I'd be taller and
I'd have
kept
him. My hands would be on my hips. This is on purpose, right? It is this notion that somehow this word is working in us and through us. We call these call narratives, by the way. It's a story about how these earliest disciples would become this tiny band of Jesus' followers. And it's, of course, this reminder that it is all about Jesus still moving what then and moving now. That he is among us, calling and inviting, inspiring us, even in this moment. It's about them, but it's about us. And maybe that's always the way it is with this Word of God. It is then and now. Martin Luther King used to call it the fierce urgency of now. Jesus says that the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom, the presence and the purpose and the power of God busy in this moment, not in some light years away. No, here. That's what that word kingdom means. But the word is fulfilled there. That the time is fulfilled. In Greek, it's pleroho. Should we say pleroho together? Pleroho. Fulfilled. Brought to its fullest expression. Realized in its completeness, in its totality. That the time is fulfilled. It's interesting that in Mark's gospel, that word is only used 10 times. Here, at the beginning. The beginning of the gospel is Jesus is collecting to himself these followers, these disciples who want to come along, maybe not even knowing where they're going, why they're going. Do you know the other time when the word fulfilled gets used? Pleroho. At the end. It's at the end of the story as Jesus is arrested, and tortured, crucified. The Bible says that the scriptures are fulfilled in the cross. At the beginning, when he's pulling them together, and now at the end, and what do those disciples do? They run. They run. Somehow, God is still after us, even in this moment. When we're at our best, and not. When we follow like we're supposed to, and we're a bunch of chickens. Jesus would still claim us as God's very own. Embrace and love and hold and keep us.